الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم، وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم، وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا، يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أعوذ بعفوك من عقابك، وأعوذ برضاك من سخطك، وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable and illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah, Hazrat used to say that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the process, inshallah, we will discuss a few sunnahs as we go along. But before that, I wish to make a clarification which I think is necessary for all of us. What is sunnah and what is hadith? Normally we regard it as one thing. It does overlap also, but there is a distinction. Let us understand. And before that, let us understand the importance of sunnah compared to hadith. We will read many hadith we will read. عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين من أحيا سنتي فقد أحياني. There are many riwayat where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us to follow the sunnah and hold تمسكوا بسنتي, holds firmly, strongly onto my sunnah. It doesn't come that hold firmly onto my hadith. It doesn't come that make the hadith compulsory of sunnah. So there is a distinction. Sunnah is established from hadith. Now, sunnah is a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifelong way of life. His habit in a particular way, his lifelong way, that is what is sunnah. And hadith will prove this. And we will find this from the hadith. Then you will find some hadith opposite to it, contradictory to it. Now, that is where many people make a mistake, who don't understand the difference, and there they follow that hadith. Like, for example, it was Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's habit to wear topi his whole life. It's sunnah to wear topi. Namaz, out of namaz, everywhere. Sunnah to wear topi. And you'll find this. And muhaddithin in their kitabs have given special chapters to the topi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Discussed it in detail. So, for example, where Maulanani is, our Imam's up here, he makes Imamat for us here. He's here around, there are many who are friends with him, they go around with him also, they know him well. All the time he wears topi. But he was traveling, and his children, his little 2-3 year old boy took off his topi while he was driving, playing with the topi, window was open, topi flew away. Now namaz time came, Zohar, he had to stop, make Zohar. When he started, now Zohar namaz is faraz. Now he say, I haven't got topi, I can't make my namaz. That's not logic, that is totally wrong. I have to, now without topi also I will make. One of his friends, Musalli, saw home, Alana made namaz without topi. So they start, just grab that and go with that. This is exactly how many people have done, who have got little understanding, or perhaps wrong understanding, or no understanding. The sunnah is to wear topi. You find one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making namaz for whatever reason without a topi. Now they just took that one incident and they cancelled the whole lifelong pattern. How can that be correct? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make namaz without his shoes on, and the details come. There was place for the shoes at the door of the masjid. So without namaz without shoes. And the practice not only of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's whole life, whole ummah's practice. Whether you go to China, whether you go Malaysia, whether you go India, whether you go Pakistan, you go America. Namaz, we all make shurats. We know it is sunnat. When you come to the masjid, you take off your shoes. Now there is a hadith. There again, sunnat is that lifelong practice. One hadith for some particular reason. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making namaz with shoes. Now you catch that one hadith, and you just fly off with that, and you cancel the whole lifelong. Which logic is that? Which common sense is that? Which ittiba and following of Quran and hadith is that? So this is very important. And this is where people, either out of ignorance, or either they just want to follow their desire, or they just like to be different from other people. And they want to prove, look, Bukhari Sharif, this page, this volume, see, this is the hadith. But the whole lifelong practice, that we don't see. Then another very important point, second point which I want to discuss, this hadith also. And this is pertinent for all of us. Because today, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever it might be, the time has come, person goes for Umrah, and he buys Bukhari Sharif from there, Muslim Sharif, Quran Sharif, all translations. Or today the internet, you don't even have to go there. And you just follow the translations on the internet. And everyone is a big allama, and everyone is a big mufti. But in order to understand hadith, there is great detail. One, for example, until you don't know the historical perspective and background, you'll never understand hadith. You'll make a complete wrong assessment, and you'll go off in the wrong direction. For example, you don't know the history of the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam with regard to slavery. Slavery was a common practice in the whole world. And slavery was in the Arabs. It was the blood slavery. They used to have slaves. Now in this age, today now, we look at that hadith and we take it out of context. And we put it today about slavery. You'll get a complete wrong idea of what it is. Read it in that context. At that time when slavery was a common, then you won't say Islam permitted slavery. You will say Islam abolished said slavery. If you will read the hadith now, you will see, do this, set free so many slaves. You set so many slaves free, so much sawab. Islam came to abolish, and Islam has abolished. Otherwise, the latest country that had slavery was America. They only abolished it now. And with which mouth are they trying to attack Islam and the Muslims today about this? It is only very recently that they abolished slavery. But whereas Islam, in a very subtle and a very practical way, in fact, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, and Lika also was common. It was just in the blood of people. They just couldn't do without liquor. But how Islam gradually, totally abolished liquor. Unfortunately, sadly, as Maulana Shabbir Sahib explained, because of our link not with the ulama, link not with the masjid and with our deen, and our link is now with Western schools, with Western way of life, with their nightclubs, with their wild life, their lifestyle. Therefore, Lika, unfortunately, is coming back in our young girls, young boys, and all their evils are coming back. So anyway, this Lika also, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, how Islam had brought it to a null. And then in America, they tried it in the 1940s. And with all their efforts in different ways, at the end they found more people were consuming liquor than at the beginning of their campaign. But Islam brought such a way. Then you have a question, for example, of ta'addud azwaj, having many wives, permissibility. Today they look down upon Islam. Islam allows four wives. They can have 1,000 mistresses. That doesn't matter. But four legal wives who are looked after, that is a big problem for them. That also, until you don't understand the historical perspective, you don't understand the great blessing and namat of Islam upon mankind. Because at that time, people used to have 50 wives, used to have 100 wives, 10 wives, 20 wives. It was a common thing. Islam did not permit four wives. Rather, put it this way, Islam limited wives to four. Instead of 20 and 50 and 100 wives, and that when it was a complete environment, everyone was in it. So it is unnecessary to understand. Further, to understand hadith and to understand deen, we must have knowledge of language also properly. Today a person from English translation, he wants to make up deen. And he has to be a big allama. And as mashallah, Maulana Anis have quoted a beautiful ayah, Fas'alu ahla dhikr in kuntum la ta'alamun. The Quran's instruction. Ask the people of dhikr, which means, yeah, Fas'alu ahlul ilm. The people of knowledge. But why dhikr? The people who haven't only got knowledge, nur, but nurun ala nur. They got nur also of knowledge, and they got ta'alluq with Allah. They know the laws of Allah Ta'ala. A lawyer only knows the laws, but he doesn't know the compassion of the judge, that how to get the judge's compassion to make the sentence lighter or something. And on that note also, I'll just digress a little bit, the laws of the world, Western courts. A person is caught for a minor thing. He's sentenced for 4 years in jail. 1 year, 6 months. It's costing the taxpayer hundreds of thousands of rand to maintain that person there. And he's a lost case. He becomes worse in the jail. That's why they have to rename it to correctional services, where they try and correct their lives. Otherwise they come out worse. Hardcore criminals. A criminal knew his tricks how to do crime. When he stays there, he mixes. They got conference every day. And they share their ideas. Now he becomes a worse criminal. So that is not the solution. So Islam has taught all these things. That so to understand hadith also, you have to know language also. For example, in Urdu we will say, when a person, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to give this example. He was making bayan, and in the bayan he said, Dil baagh baagh ho gaya. Which means you became very happy. Now there you can't translate the literal, that my heart became heart, garden. There you have to say that I became extremely happy. Urdu, we have a proverb, makhi chus. A person who sucked, that means a person who is very stingy. Now if you translate it and you say the person who used to suck a fly, you have lost the point completely. There you have to say that person was so stingy, like a person won't give ice in winter. Use the proverb in English to make that point understood. So all this is included in language. Whether it's Quran, there are proverbs in Quran. There are similes in Quran. There are all the different figures of speech also, in hadith also. Till you don't know that, you won't understand the hadith correctly, and you will make grave mistakes. One muhaddith, he was a muhaddith, he wasn't a faqih. And in order to follow somebody, follow a person who is a faqih. Muhaddith will convey and carry the knowledge of hadith. But a faqih is the one who has got the understanding of hadith. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Gangohi commonly used to quote this. There is a hadith that says, don't water somebody else's field with your water. Don't give water, don't irrigate somebody else's field with your water. So one muhaddith took the literal meaning. And somebody used to ask him water, he had a lot of water in his ground, that give us water for our... He said, no, hadith prohibits it, I can't. Whereas this hadith meant that if a wife is divorced or her husband has passed away, now don't water her field. Don't have relations with her. Don't marry her and don't have relations with her until the baby is delivered. Now it's no more that man's field. So what is the actual meaning? But when we don't understand, grave mistakes like this are made. And these are common things. We are sitting here in the masjid. Our friends know that I get thirsty and I need a sup of water now and then. So mashallah, jazakumullah, they arrange water. But if there wasn't water arranged, and I would say, please bring me water. We're sitting here, in what will you bring water? In a glass? You can say, I went to toilet, for example, before namaz. And if there wasn't water in the toilet, now I had to make istinja. So I opened the door slightly and I shout loudly, please bring me water. Somebody heard and he took pity on me, helped this man out. The old man, he hasn't got water. Well, he understands. What for what he wants water? Istinja. What is he going to bring water? In a lota jug, in a big bottle if he can't find a jug. So only the person who is present there will know. If you read on the internet, Maulana said, please bring me water. Eh? And you got a choice of answers. Either a glass or either a jug. A big jug. You might, when I'm sitting here, you might bring the toilet jug and give me water. And when I'm in the toilet and I need water for istinja, you might bring in a small glass. Eh? So the Sahaba, radiallahu anh, this is called circumstantial evidence. And to understand hadith, you must know what were the circumstances around at the time. If you don't know that, you won't understand the hadith. You will make terrible mistakes. One father gave advice to his son. Son was studying in university. He had nothing to do with his father, never stayed with him, never knew his habits, his way of life. University, young boy in a world of his own. Anyway, the son made this, the father made this, gave these advices, when I die, you must go to work, the factory, whatever it was, not far from the house. Every day you must go in the shade, and you must return in the shade. Second advice, you must eat the best food only. Never eat leftovers or never just make do with whatever there is. We'll just make do with this today. No, every meal the best food. And the third advice, every month you must make a new nikah. You must get married again. So he came, he saw this, the father passed away, he saw the wasiyatnama, the advices of the father. So he built a shade. From his house to the shop to the factory, and he should go 10, 11 o'clock to work and come back 2, 3 o'clock. So he went in the shade, came in the shade. He gave strong, very firm advices and commands to his wife. You only cook the best, every meal, just the best, nothing. That also got done, end of the month now, and he loved his wife very much, was very loyal to her. Now the father said, must make every month new nikah. Now what to do? So he asked the secretary of the father, who spent his whole life with the father, and who knew the mizaj and the nature of the father. They said, Dabbu, stupid, you didn't understand one advice of your father. He said, you must go in the shade. He meant you must go before sunrise. Work the whole day and come after sunset. What is this? You're going 10, 11 o'clock, you made the shade. So to understand this is important. Secondly, the best food, eat only when you're really hungry. At that time, whatever food you get is the best food. Otherwise, if you eat when you are full, the best food also you got problems with that. And the third advice, cohabit with your wife once a month. It will be new nikah for you every month. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that your halal wife also, don't make a halal every time. All the time when you see you're just busy making a halal. No. Waqtan fa waqtan, give time. And today we can't understand this also. Today is a different world. It's a world just of all fulfilling your carnal desires all the time. So anyway, so to understand it, the secretary who lived with the father, he knew what he meant by that. So to understand deen, it is absolutely essential that we have all this historical perspective also. We understand the society and the culture and the mindsets of the people of that time also. And that is why in the Alim course, 6 years, all these sciences are related. And the student is gathered. And the people who understood those hadith, those circumstances, they were the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Today we want to understand deen from Bukhari Sharif. We understand deen from Quran Sharif. Till you don't have your ustads who understood it from their ustad, tell the sahaba who explained what was it at that time, what was the condition at that time, under what circumstances was this said, we will never get the right idea of deen. We'll make a complete different picture for ourselves. In fact, Quran Sharif we have to follow. What is Quran Sharif? In one of the kitabs the ulama study, Nurul Anwar, the definition of the Quran Sharif, this Quran Sharif we have got, we call it Quran Sharif, but that is not really. The Quran Sharif are the words of Allah, which we don't hear today. We don't see with our, we see the written word. But those words of Allah which Jibreel alayhi salam came with, that is Quran. And not only that, the meaning which Allah meant. Not you take out your own meaning. We know how many arguments, how many big accidents take, how many losses in big transactions. I thought it meant this. Your thought, how, and deen is not dependent, is not based on our thinking. My thinking, our Shaykh rahmatullah alayh, Allah give him jazaa khair. He said that the people going on a train journey, and they say, zara momfali khareed lo. Buy some peanuts. Sara cheuro khareed lo. Aur phir hum deeni guftagu kare. We'll have some religious discussion. So deen is peanuts. Deen is cheuro. The solid pillars of deen are Quran and Hadith. And Quran, as I said, is that which Allah had revealed. If I read today Quran wrongly, it's not Quran. Quran is that which Allah had revealed. And if I interpret Quran ayat wrongly, that's not the Quran. That is my wrong interpretation. Quran is that which Allah meant. That is what. So many people make this mistake also. And they say, you want to ask a question? Ask yourself. You don't have to ask the ulama. And they openly and blatantly and brazenly, they say, you don't need the ulama. You don't have to ask. And what they say? Allahu Akbar. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرَ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We made the Quran easy for everyone. Eh? What is the meaning of we made the Quran easy for everyone? One time I was in Jamaat in India. There were 40 Arabs with us. It was a whole Arab Jamaat. And we were about 10, 12, who we are called ulama for the translation, and Maulana Ahmed Lat was our Amir. We were in Gujarat area, and the Amir of Marseilles of France, an Arab from Algeria, we became close friends, we were talking. So he told me one day how you Indian Pakistan people have understood parda is totally wrong. That man must be completely separate woman. Any social gathering, wedding, walima, aqiqa, or the whole family gets together, women are separate. He said, there's no enjoyment in there. Enjoyment is when all are you talking with the woman, smiling, laughing, joking. He said, there is fun. Now you people make it so dry and brittle, all women separately. And he read ayat of Quran on top of it. Dalil, proof. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. No guna, you can sit all together and eat, or you can eat separately. I was baffled again also. And to understand Quran, you need so much of knowledge. And that time we in Jamaat, 6 numbers whole day, and 6 number ka muzakara all the time, crushed all the time, where all these things were in my mind. So anyway, next day we went to a Darul Uloom. So straight away I went to the library, I took out a tafsir kitab, and I studied, now what is this? Then what I understood, all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all the awliya, very hospitable. And there were such amongst them who wouldn't eat if they did not have a guest. One Sahaba didn't have a guest, so he wasn't eating. On that Allah revealed an ayat. There is no guna if you eat on your own or you eat with the guest. Now what is the meaning and what meaning they took out? So don't think if you know Arabic that you are a big allama. Eh? To deen, Allahu Akbar. One time, mashaAllah, it was about 25 years ago. 6 ulama, Arab ulama from Makkah Sharif, Darul Ifta. There is this big organization, Rabitatul Islami, and there is Darul Ifta also. They also serve Muslims of the world. They came to Darul Uloom Azadwal maybe 20, 25 years ago. And we met, we sat down, we spoke, and they said, our purpose of coming, we want to send ulama to you to teach in your Darul Uloom Arabic language so students can become fluent in Arabic, they can speak, etc. And we will pay all the cost, the comma, everything will be from our side. I listened to their full details. Then I asked them, and they were good ulama, proper Sharia, deen, beards, everything. So I told them, I think that the ulama you're going to send are going to be Egyptians. They said, yes, they will be Egyptians. They are our best. They are our source. And I think their beards will be cut or they won't have beards. You say, yes, that is the case. And I think they will smoke also and they'll smoke in public also. He said, yes, that is also, we know that it also happened. Then I told him, the language Arabic, Sir Ankhope, Al-Ras, Wal-Ain, Quran Sharif's language, Hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jannat's language. But we give preference to deen over language. He stood up and he kissed me on my forehead. And he told me, on which stand you are, you may never change from your stand. So knowing Arabic, friends who studied with us in our time, they went and study Arabic, Medina University, Azhar. And what were they used for? Without exaggeration, embassies, oil companies used them in order to get liquor for their meetings. And in order to get prostitutes, girls for their meetings. Yeah. Is Arabic for that purpose? Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, our aslaf and akabir and buzurg studied Arabic much. Maulana Alimiya is a master of Arabic. The Arabs can't compare with him. But they studied Arabic to understand Quran and Hadith. Not just to speak Quran and to speak Arabic. So anyway, this Arabic to understand, and also Abdullah ibn Subayyan, the old Imam of Haram Sharif. Great person, rahimahullah, very pious person. He was also a Salafi, but a mild Salafi, accommodating, had respect for people. And Alim once, he told me his personal meeting with Abdullah ibn Subayyan. In Dioban, he told me, he says, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Subayyan invited him to meals. While they were having meals, two Riyaz alims, Arab alims also came for the meals. And a good habit of the Arabs, which is sunnah also, to make ta'aruf, to introduce. So they introduced everyone. When they introduced me, these from Delhi, India, those two alims of Riyaz went bonkers. And he said, these people are qabar pujari, and they are mushriks, and they do shirk and everything. Abdullah ibn Subayyal asked them, you ever went to India? They say, no, we didn't go. He said, then what you know about India? I have gone. I know these people in and out. They are not mushriks and they are not qabar pujaris. These people, the ulama of Dioban, have got tawheed, sunnat, love of sunnat, and to spread deen in the world. Then Abdullah ibn Subayyal rahimahullah said another thing. He said that 2/3 of the whole Muslim ummah in the world, their deen khidmat, servicing them for deen, is done by ulama-i Dioban. Maulana Sheikh Yusuf Karan, rahimahullah, of Cape Town, just passed away. He told us he went to America many years ago. He said, in a concrete jungle, all just big, big concrete blocks, one little musalla there. Who's the imam? The son of Dioban. Who's the muazzin? Son of Dioban. Whether you go anywhere in the world, Allahu Akbar. Qari Fateh Muhammad, Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one talk, he says, he called one prominent Arab alim. And he told the people, this is my shagir student. And the imam who made namaz is my student also. Every imam till today of Medina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, directly or indirectly, are the students of ulama-i Dioban. Do we know who the ulama of Dioban are? And Dioban is that place, my brothers, the whole world. Dioban has not only produced ulama, Dioban has produced Darul Ulooms in the world. From where not only ilm has spread, from where Tabligh Jamaat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah has come, from where Jihad Maulana Madani Rahmatullah has come, from where the defense of Islam against Qadianism Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah has come, from where Maulana Mahmudul Hassan, they asked, you didn't write any kitabs. He says, my kitab of tafsir, look at Shabbir Ahmed Usmani. My kitab of hadith, you want to see Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah. These are the ulama-i Dioban, what they had produced. May Allah let us understand. And if your mind hasn't gone to that, Medina University hasn't produced a single another Medina University. Azhar of Cairo hasn't produced a single another Azhar. Dioban has through the east and west, north and south of the world, you will find Darul Ulooms, which are all linked with Darul Ulum Dioban, and who are the daughters of Darul Ulum Dioban. And see, the great Imam, Imam Abu Hanifa, as I said that, ask the people who have got knowledge if you want to know. I'll give you a few instances of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that we can understand who these people are. The Khawarij, that is a group who did not believe in Hazrat Isa, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of the great many false wars that any, for any, the person who commits a major sin, he's a kafir, out of the fold of Islam. Many other things like that. Just like the Khawarij today, or a form of the Khawarij, which is the ISIS or the ISIS. They also, for any small thing, takfir, you're a kafir. You have to be put to the sword. And as Maulana Shabir explained, great, great ulama are being made shaheed with this excuse all the time. You don't become bayat to Abu Bakr Baghdadi, you have to be put to the sword. You have to be shot dead. So this is their way. There's the Khawarij, always this was their way. So anyway, they had gained control over the area. They were in charge. Like ISIS is in control of the area. A place which is as big as France, they are in control. They do what they want to, and all this havoc they are causing. Like that in their time also. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was a prominent great alim, senior alim. So they cornered him also. And they told him, we're asking you a question. If you don't give the right answer, yes, our swords open, swords out of the sheath, and we are going to kill you. So he said, with that, how can I give you a masala? My mind is somewhere else. Put your swords away. They said, we have come to kill you. So the swords are ready for you. What is the masala? They said, there are two janazas here outside. One is of a man who drank so much liquor that he died of drinking so much of liquor. The other is a woman who committed adultery, and in childbirth she died. Now both of them, if they didn't make tawbah, then tell us, are they Muslims, mu'min, or are they not Muslims? Now if he gives a masala, the right masala, his life is in danger. If he gives the wrong masala, then he becomes a khariji, like them, who are wrong masala. So just look at the zahanat and brains of Sam lathi bhi na tooti or Sam bhi mar gaya. You kill the snake also and your stick didn't break. He asked them, who are these people? Are they Jews, these two people? No, they're not Jews. Christians? No, they're not Christians. Fire worshippers? No. Idol worshippers? No. Then who are they? They are Muslims. So he said, then you gave the answer. You yourself gave the answer, they are Muslims. What are you asking me? Then they asked that, what will Allah do with them, that without Tawbah they died? So he says, I say the same, I haven't got knowledge. I say the same what Ibrahim, what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam say, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk, wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, manit taba'ani, fa innahum inni, before that, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So they made tawbah, they understood. One time, Hazrat Jafar Sadiq radiallahu anhu, great grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His name was Muhammad ibn Hassan ibn Ali ibn Fatima ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The great grandson of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Who the Shias revere as one of the great 12 Imams. But he was a righteous man. He was the great grandson of Nabi alayhi salam. He met Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He said to Imam Sahib, I heard you have changed the deen of my Nana of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to your logic. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as much respect as I've got for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you his great great son, I've got so much respect for you. Great honor and great respect. He let him sit with great respect on a chair. Then he said, he stood on his knees. The calves were on the floor, and with his knees, Imam Sahib, like a humble person, stood in front of him. And then he asked him, that tell me, that the first question he asked, that who is a weaker sex, man or woman? He said, woman. And what is the share of woman in miras, in inheritance, in the deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Half of what man get? He said, if I were following my logic, I would give a woman double. Because she's the weaker sex, she must get double. She doesn't go out to earn, she stays at home, the man earns. So I should have given her double, but I didn't do that. I didn't change the deen. I gave her half of what the man, according to the Quran, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that the man will get double of what the woman will get. Then he asked, that which ibadat is more greater, namaz or roza? So he said, namaz is a more greater ibadat. So he said, when a woman has her monthlies, her menses, then she doesn't make namaz also, she doesn't keep roza also. But she must keep qaza of roza, there is no qaza of namazes. So he said, if I use my logic, namaz is more important. I should say all her namazes she must make qaza, not her rozas. But I didn't change the deen. I followed the deen of your grandfather, of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he asked him that urine and semen, money, which is more najis, which is more impure? He said, urine is more impure. So he said that, see, if urine is more impure, but the Shariat and the deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you urinate, make wudu. If your semen comes out, you have to make ghusl. I didn't change that. According to logic, urine is more dirty. So every time you should urinate, you should have to go and make a ghusl. Eh? If I have to follow my logic, I did. Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi stood up and kissed the forehead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he then, he understood that what great deen and what great understanding. And for another point further, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, "Lawla sanatan la halaka Nu'man." Had it not been for my 2 years, Nu'man, Imam Abu Hanifa, I should have been destroyed. Which 2 years was he referring to? He became bad to Hazrat Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah radiyallahu anhu, and 2 years he made his sahih, his tarbiyat and his islah under him. He said, "If it wasn't for that islah and tarbiyat of mine, tazkiyah, Nu'man should have been destroyed." So from here, understand how important tasawwuf, tazkiyah and islah. A great, great imam like Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi also. I ask one question. A person, those who have heard this from me before, they mustn't answer. Other people give the answer. A person is walking on a road, traveling. He comes to Char Rasta, crossroads. Now he doesn't know, must I go straight here, must I go right, or must I go left? He sees on the corner there, two people. One is sleeping and another one is awake sitting next to him. So who should he ask the right directions? The one who's sleeping or the one who's awake? Who should he ask? Ji? Awake. The one who's awake also doesn't know. He's waiting for that sleeping one. When he gets up, that's why he's sitting there. So like that, we don't know. فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people who have got knowledge, if when you don't know. Don't just follow. We won't even know who to ask, first of all. And that is what is happening today. You're asking the wrong person also. Where are we going to get the right person answer from the wrong person? So therefore, Allah has given us our ulama. Allah has given us our madaris, makatib. And make shukr the makatib that we have got here in South Africa. And South African ulama and public also, Allah reward them. In the world they are establishing makatib. You can think of Mozambique, you can think of Malawi, you can think of which place. The South African, alhamdulillah, Allah reward the business people, they contributing. The ulama, they are sacrificing and they are going. And they are establishing Darul Ulooms in our country. Appreciate all these great ni'mats. So if we let us understand, it is not a matter of ISIS. It is a matter of the ideology of ISIS. That is our first point, the basic point. We have to come right and clear that, as Mufti and Maulana explained, Maulana Anis explained, till we don't make taqleed. And Maulana Shabir explained what is taqleed. Follow our elders, what they have taught us. They are the right people. And remember also on this point, deen has come to us over 1400 years now. So all that was wrong. Only now people have understood the right deen. And all those people, na'uzubillah, have gone jahannam. All those people, they whatever I believes they had and their amal. Now, mashallah, people, now new revelation came down. New wahi. Now the people know what it is. And they say that don't follow this one and that one. One more thing. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith also. He quotes from Sufyan. Sufyan Thawri was a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa, and there was he had rivalry with Imam Abu Hanifa, lot of rivalry also. But he quotes the rival of Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah, he says, I never saw a person abstaining more from backbiting than Imam Abu Hanifa. He would never backbite. In fact, he would never speak also. He would keep quiet unless he's asked, then he will speak. And on the other hand, the ulama, muhaddithin, fuqaha have written, the most stupid, idiot person in the world is the one who backbites. Why? Because backbiting, you're earning your earnings, you're getting sawab, and you're depositing, not in somebody else's account, your enemy's account. Who you backbite about? A person you don't like. So the person you don't like, in fact, Imam Abu Hanifa himself, people used to speak bad about them, you should give them whole trays of mithai, sweet meats. And that person used to be surprised. Then he got tawfiq, he understood, he stopped backbiting. The mithai also stopped. He told Imam Abu Hanifa, as long as I was backbiting about you, trays and trays of mithai. When I stopped, no more mithai also. He said, you were doing me a favor. You were making my stages go higher and higher. Now you stopped. So I also stopped. So those people, and the world is full of such people who can't control their tongues, not of any ordinary person, of such a great man like Imam Abu Hanifa. Bayans and bayans, they give kitabs and kitabs they write against Imam Abu Hanifa. They don't realize what harm they're causing to themselves and what favor they're doing to Imam Abu Hanifa. We must be very careful. You can have rivalry, you can have disagreement, but don't fall into backbiting. You are destroying yourself. So may Allah Ta'ala let us understand. Understand this. So, ISIS, there are so many wrongs with them. Mawlana Shabir Sahib, Allah reward him, direct information from the ground he has given us. And there are many others, fatwas have come from the ulama of Syria, from the ulama of Iraq, that this is a total wrong thing. And many of us, hopefully, all of us, we should be knowing that from the year 1897 to the year 1903, roughly 112 years ago, between 115 years ago, the Jewish protocols were written, rewritten. And what is that? How the Jews can control the whole world. That is their plan, to control the whole world. And in that, starting from Baitul Muqaddas, they draw the snake also that goes to Jordan, Syria, Iraq, comes to Saudi, captures the whole of Saudi around Egypt and back to Baitul Muqaddas. That central part of the world, they want to control that. And from there, they want to control the whole world. That is the Zionist objective, to rule the world in every way. And in that, we have to be very, very careful, even in our local politics, who we align with. There are those parties who are aligned with the Jews and with the Zionists. And their services might be very good. And there are those others whose services might not be good, but for your Islam, they are much better for you. They are much more easier for your Islam. See who we align ourselves with. So anyway, this is their objective. And in their plans they have got. One time, in a meeting in Johannesburg, top business people, this businessman told me himself. He was sitting, another Muslim man next to him, a Jewish man on this side. And some point came to be discussed. And in that discussion, this Jewish man tells the other Jew next to him, this is not in our 100-year plan, this is in our 200-year plan. They got their plans like that. And we are fast asleep. As long as we are making money all the time, living it up, gardens, houses, holidays, lifestyle, even Umrah every year. We're just happy with all that. Our cars and that. And we don't know how they're cutting our legs. And they don't spend their money. They use it only to fight against Islam. Anyway, this is their plan. And if you think this thought suddenly struck me a few days ago, that in Egypt, they displaced the legal elected president Morsi. They just got rid, and he's behind bars now. And they installed a puppet man, Sisi, who is a Jew, or his mother is a Jew, or both are Jews, or one of them is a Jew. This is their case there. Then Egypt is a major player in this whole role here. And then they have, there is Sisi, there is Isis. It's not just a matter of playing on words. It's a whole game. And they are making big fools out of us. And we also just falling for all this. And in this way, from inside they are eating like white ants. They eat up everything from inside. The whole thing just falls. When the time will be ready, Allah knows when that time is. This whole area, they will just annex it and it will be. They will come till ulama, our ulama have said, where Medina University is. That is where the buck stops. And they will not be able to enter Medina Sharif. They won't be able to enter Makkah Sharif, and all their dreams will be shattered there at that time. But in the meantime, we will have to face this. And our duty at that time is to make sabr and carry on with deen. Another one, very important point. We all came for namaz. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept. So our namaz, did we just come, we went, we ate, and we overate also, and we went toilet, and we saw it's late, and we rushed, we came namaz. Did we do that? We made wuzu, all of us, conditions. When we came here, masjid is too full. Malana Anis didn't announce that people who are outside, any direction you want to, you can face. Or no musallas, place is napak. No, namaz is important, make namaz. Ramzan is coming, rozas we're going to keep. A great, honorable, blessed month. So we just, any month we keep rozas. We keep roza when we feel like to get up for seri. It's too hard, winter, very cold in the morning. So I'll make breakfast 7 o'clock and I'll keep my roza. And 5:30 is too early for seri. I'll make iftari, I'll make 6 o'clock. Does our deen work like that? Hajj, I feel like really, my emotions are high. I want to go Arafat, Mina. So I go now for Hajj in Shaban. Well, there are conditions. For even if ISIS was right, there are conditions for jihad. Not just a matter without conditions, you just go. Even, remember these words, don't misquote me. Even if they were right, then to jihad, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was approached by modernists in India. Greatly feeling, every Muslim has got feeling for deen, that we must make jihad against the British, etc. So three conditions he put. One of the conditions, 10 years first our Islam we make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't given permission for jihad in Makkah Sharif. After 10 years of, 13 years of Makkah Sharif, then permission was given for jihad. So it's not just a matter you just want to go. And then secondly and more importantly, they're not even right. The whole ideology is wrong. The whole Salafi idea, concept is a wrong concept. How can you build a structure on without foundation or wrong foundation? You put straw in your foundation and you want to put up a big building. What is that building going to? So we have to see all those things. And from there, and also some people in their naivety, which Maulana Anis also mentioned, that they say that our ulama and our people are against ISIS because of Western media. No, no, no. Nobody is so naive that CNN, BBC, you're just going to follow it blindly. Especially the ulama won't be so naive that they're just going to follow. And really, if you follow CNN and BBC, and you got what I mentioned to understanding the circumstances, the whole idea of what somebody's saying and what he's trying to get through, what we say, you read between the lines, you will see very clearly ISIS is their product. From their own news, you will see it very clearly that ISIS is their product. ISIS, that all the soldiers are treated in Israel. ISIS, where they got the heavy weaponry, all the big trucks and things that they are using, where suddenly it all just fell out from the sky, and they've got all this. Where, and also, Taliban, when the Americans went there, first thing, what did Afghanistan got to do with Twin Towers? They had nothing to do with Twin Towers. They went and bombed the whole of Afghanistan. Why can't they bomb ISIS? Laser bombing is a great achievement which they claim. Why can't they bomb Abu Bakr Baghdad and finish him up? So many things, all the cluster bombs and all that, nothing of that sort. Their radio stations, their websites, they are not closed down. Nothing. The water plants, the sewage plants, water plants, electricity, not one is damaged. Not one bomb falls there. The poor Kobani, one little town, they smashed it to smithereens. Nothing is left of there. But all these things, no, and they say they got the, what in the sky? Satellite. And they can see a person in the 10th floor in the basement. He's smoking not a cigarette, but a stompy. And they will tell you what brand of cigarette he's smoking. So when they can see so much, then why can't they see all this of ISIS? It's such a clear from their own news. You can see it so clearly. Then finally, let us end up with this Mubarak night. And I will just end up, Manana Allah reward Ma Shabir, has explained so beautifully. There is a great dua of this night. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi afwika min iqabik, wa a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik, wa a'udhu bika minka, la uhsi thanan alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. And see the beauty and the wisdom and hikmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mizaj of Allah ta'ala. First, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi afwika min iqabik. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness from your punishment. That is the af'al of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's action of forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive me. وَعَوْذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ. Those are the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. So you make taraqqi from af'al to sifat, the qualities of Allah, or wa'udhu bi ridaka, means your happiness and your pleasure from your anger and your displeasure. Wa'udhu bika minka, the zaat of Allah Ta'ala. So started from the af'al, went to the sifat, and then to the zaat. So this night is an ibadat which is to teach us that. Start with Allah Ta'ala's action, what Allah is doing. Allah gives us rozi, Allah gives us shifa, Allah gave me my house, Allah gave me my house. All that understand. Then understand the sifat, the qualities of Allah. That Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the most kind. Allah is the all-knowing, at the same time the great forgiving also. Allah knows your sins in and out. Whereas we are sitting here, if everyone knew every wrong of your wife, the wife knew every wrong of yours, perhaps nobody will forgive anyone. Allah knows us more than that, and Allah gives us blanket amnesty. What Allah. So when that is the case, make your ta'alluq direct with Allah. Go to the zaat of Allah Ta'ala. This is a night of spiritual cleansing and purification. I usually give this example, that if a person is getting married Sunday morning, for example, which is common procedure, 11 o'clock nikah in the masjid. He was working on his car, he's a mechanic. He got his overall on, grease, oil, all is dirty, hands are dirty, everything. And he comes to sit for nikah, yeah. From the door, people will chase him away. But you, where are you coming now? Go and take a bath, change your clothes. Like that, we dirty with our gunas, with our filth, and we're going in a more Mubarak place than the masjid, the month of Ramadan. And we're going with our dirt and filth. What enjoyment we're going to get. And if he got married, and now he's gone, he's got his wife with him in the room. 9 o'clock at night, both of them are alone in the room. First night, Laylatul Urus. What a night that is, the first night. But either the wife or the husband, dirty, filthy, smelling. What, that whole night is spoiled. So the Ramadan is coming, and if we are dirty and we're going to Ramadan, Allah is still so kind that the first 10 days He made of maghfirat. Still get yourself washed off. The second 10 nights of rahmat. And then itkum minan nar. Then you are set free. But anyway, those who wash themselves, the spiritual bath. And when we have taken a spirit, the main ibadat of tonight, in my humble opinion, all ibadat we have to do. But the main ibadat is tawbah and istighfar. It is laylatul barat. It is the night of forgiveness. It is to get forgiveness. And when you have got forgiveness, stay on that. Don't change. Like children, that night, mother say, go and take your bath, put on your pajamas, now you are clean. Then they warn them, don't get dirty again. Don't dirty your pajamas again. So just like that, when we have become clean with this night Allah gave us, and Allah is sending our shower down, Allah is sending our shampoo and our soap and our powder, now we are clean completely. Now don't go and get dirty with woman again. Don't go and get dirty on the TV again. Don't go and get dirty on the porn again. Stay clean and go into the month of Ramadan. And when it has been now consolidated about 45 days from now till end of Ramadan, that is Eid will come to such a person. Maulana Inam al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, live your life like Ramadan and your mort will come like Eid. If we live Ramadan properly, live your life like Ramadan and your mort will come like Eid. A person should live such a way, when he's born, everyone is laughing, but the baby is crying. Everyone is happy, the aunties, the khalas, the foys, all making walima, laughing, joking, everyone is happy, but the baby is crying. Live your life in such a way, when you die, you are laughing and everyone is crying. Otherwise, one friend of ours now, just recently he passed away, his wife phoned, and see, half an hour whole long lecture she gave, and she told in the process there is a lesson for her. He was a very wealthy person. He bought her a luxury car every 3 years, a luxury house he gave her, left her with income, and she's got a lot of everything. But when he died, the way the relationship was, you don't live a life properly, say, Haru Chiu Salo Marigyo. We laugh, but it mustn't happen to us. That they have to say to us that this, how you live like that, the people are happy you died. Live such a way, people cry you died. Otherwise, this is our condition. So this our money and all that, don't depend on that. Our big houses and big gardens and all that, don't depend. Our inside, your success is not in things outside you. Your success is inside you. Your failure is not in things outside. Your failure is within you. Nobody else can make you successful. It's up to you. One beautiful saying in the morning, those people who might have ducks or know about ducks, you just go out and the ducks quack, 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 complaining whole day. How many of us, especially our woman folk, as you get up in the morning, you didn't do this, you don't do that, you didn't bring this, quack, quack, quack. And one is the bird, the eagle, the falcon. It doesn't make any, it goes soars and goes right up into the skies. So be like a falcon, be like an eagle. Don't be like a duck and just all the time complaining. Come masjid, complaints. Complaints of the imam, complaints of the mutawallis. Outside parking, complaints. Go home, complaints. Go to the workplace, complaints. Quack, 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 quack all the time. No, rather become like an eagle and soar high. May Allah let us understand and let us guide us correctly and understand that our madhab in our deen of 1400 years is solid, absolute solid, and nobody can shake it, and remain on that and speak to our friends who got carried away for whatever reason. They just wanted some prominence, or they just wanted some name, or they think that the wahi is coming to them. Try and make them understand and bring them to the ulama. Let them speak and get the proper guidance, and let us follow in the correct way. And remember, al-jihadu madin ila yawmil qiyamah. Jihad, what its condition, the right, the true jihad, which is a honorable, noble institution. Not Muslim killing Muslim, Muslims raping Muslim women, calling it jihad. That's no jihad. Killing small children, babies and all this. What jihad is that? We call that jihad. Jihad, the proper jihad, which first da'wah comes of Islam. Then that is followed with jihad. That is what is jihad. May Allah give us this true understanding and accept us for the ibadat of this night. Don't let this be the end of the night. We don't expect everyone to stay awake the whole night. Tomorrow you're going to your businesses, but reasonable amount. Go and make some ibadat now. Otherwise, sleep away, get up, sehri time, make some ibadat, tahajjud, dua, zikr, istighfar, tawbah. To do some ibadah, there is a great night with great merits, and try and keep roza for tomorrow also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Just one more thing, inshallah. Ali Shabir will make dua. On one occasion, a husband and wife came to where Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was Kufa. And those days were not hotels and lodges, so they camped outside the city. And the pretty woman was very pretty. A man saw her and fell in love with her and claimed she is his wife. She also got inclined to him. And she said also, this is my husband. The poor husband was parishan. Somebody just hijack your wife like that. What do you mean? So anyway, people gave him advice, go to Imam Abu Hanifa, he'll sort out your problem. He went to Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, this is my problem. He said, no, don't worry. He took a few ladies of his household and he went to their tent where they were camping. And then he told empty the camp. They emptied it. He sent his household ladies there. They had a dog also with them for security. So the dog started barking and wanted to bite them. Because strangers, who are these people? So they came away. Then he sent this husband who claims he's the husband. He wasn't the true husband. He said, you go. Again the dog barked and chased them away. Then he sent the true husband and wife, the actual one. The horse, the dog was going around them, wagging its tail, very happy. So then Imam Abu Hanifa told that woman, have shame in you. A dog is more loyal. He didn't forget that you the master. And you just in a few minutes you turned away. This was the zahanat of Imam Abu Hanifa. Who we have to follow and what the imam we got. Look at the manaqib and the, who. Today we haven't got time to know. We only got time to criticize. Imam Abu Hanifa is like this. Hanafis are like this. No, find out. And then you will be proud in the sense of shukr that Allah has given us such a great imam.
Jazakum. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل اسم اللهم لا تنعنا ذنبا إلا غفرتها ولا هما إلا فرجتها ولا كربا إلا نفستها ولا مريضا إلا شفيتها ولا حاجة إلي لقريضا إلا قضيتها ويسرت يا رب الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واشفنا يوم القيامة من الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة وما قرب إليه من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار وما قرب إليه من قول وعمل. اللهم نعوذ من عذاب القبر ونعوذ من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم نعوذ بك من المعظم والمغرم. اللهم نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء الفضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نعوذ من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ من فتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم حبب لنا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره لنا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بجنتك ومن اليقين ما تخون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا واجعل الوارث منا واجعل صالحنا من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصل لنا آخرنا التي فيها معادنا وأحينا ما كانت الحياة خيرا لنا وتوفنا إذا كانت الوفاة خيرا لنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم أصلحنا وأصلح أمة رسولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحمنا وارحم رسولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرجنا وفرج أمة رسولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم تجاوزنا وتجاوز أمة رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم احفظنا واحفظ أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من كيد الكائدين ومكر الماكرين وتسلط المنافقين والكافرين. يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين. اللهم نعوذ بك من عقوبك لعقابك ونعوذ بك إذاك من سخطك ونعوذ بك منك لا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلق الدفرين. يا رب كريم حسن فهم ہماری پوری امت کے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. یا اللہ اس وقت پوری عالم کی امت پریشان حال ہے. یا اللہ تو جانتا ہے. یا اللہ اس پریشانی کو یا اللہ عافیت کے ساتھ بدل لے. مظلوم مسلمانوں کی بھرپور حمایت فرما. کتنے مسلمان ایسے نہ کھانا نہ پینا. یا اللہ جو گناہ مسلمان پر بم گرائے جا رہے ہیں کوئی اس کے پرسہ نحال نہیں ہے. تو جانتا ہے یا اللہ محضر میں فضل و کم سے امت کے حال پر رحم فرما. یہ مبارک مہینے آ رہے ہیں یا اللہ مبارک دن آ رہے ہیں. یا اللہ اس رحمت عامہ کے اندر یا اللہ ان کی برخاص رحمت نازل فرما کر غیروں کی نروں سے یا اللہ ان کی حفاظت فرما کر ان ظالموں کے ہاتھ کو روک دے ان کے لیے توبہ کی توفیق ہو ورنہ ان ہاتھوں کو توڑ دے. مظلوم مسلمانوں کی بھرپور حمایت فرما. پوری امت کے لیے خیر کا فیصلہ فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے والدین اساتذہ مشائخ کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما. ان کے قبر کو نور زمر فرما. ان کے ساتھ ہمیں منسلک فرما. یا اللہ محض فضل کرم ان کے نور ایمان کو ہمارے مردہ دلوں کے اندر منتقل فرما. یا اللہ گستاخیوں سے اور بیعدبی سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ محض فضل و کرم سے ہمارے اولادوں کی قیامت تک یا اللہ حفاظت فرما. ایمان کامل کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما. پورے عالم کے اندر مسلمانوں کی ایمان کی جان کی مال کی عزت کی آبرو کی اولادوں کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ اسلام مسلمانوں کی اسکیموں کو ناکام فرما. مسلمانوں کو دوست و دشمن یا اللہ نفع اور نقصان کے اندر تفریق کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. مسلمان حکمرانوں کے اندر غیرت ایمانی پیدا فرما. یا اللہ اس وقت کے فرعون نے غضب کے دریا کے گھر فرما جو مظلوم مسلمان جیلوں کے اندر یا غلط مقدمہ کے اندر یا اللہ ان کے رہائی کے چھپے پیرا فرما برات کا فیصلہ فرما یا رب کریم ترکی کی پوری پوری حفاظت فرما ان کے خلاف تمام سازشوں کو ناکام فرما جو اچھا کام کرنا چاہتے ہیں ان کے اندر تمام رکاوٹ کو دور فرما پورے عالم کے اندر یا اللہ امن پسند طاقت و قوت نصیب فرما امن دشمن طاقت و اللہ ذہنی وقار فرما اس ملک کے اندر بھی جو دینی امن امن اس کو قائم و دائم فرما اس کی قدردانی کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اہل حق یا اللہ کی جتنی مدارس ہیں مکاتب ہیں خانقاہ ہیں دینی جماعت ہے تبلیغی جماعت ہے دینی تنظیم ہے جو صحیح طور پر کام کر رہے ہیں تمام کی حفاظت فرما ترقیات سے مالا مال فرما یا اللہ ہر وخیز اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نصیب فرما حضرت مولانا کی عمر کے اندر بھی برکت نصیب فرما ہمارے اس ملک کے اندر جتنے اکابر گزر چکے ہیں جنہوں نے دین کی محنت کی جس کا ہم فل کھا رہے یا اللہ ان کو بہترین بدلہ نصیب فرما ان کے قبروں کو نور سے منور فرما ان کے سیاحت کو صنعت سے منور فرما یا اللہ محض نفع جو بات کہی گئی یا اللہ نفع اور نقصان کے بین تفریق کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اہل حق علماء کے ساتھ ہمیں منسلک رہنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما جتنے موجودین ہیں تمام کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہم بھیک مانگے معافی کی ہم جانتے ہیں وکاری مجرم ہیں کوئی گناہ ایسے نہیں ہے جو ہم نے نہیں کیا تو نے حکم کیا ہم نے توڑا تیرے غیر کی طرف گئے یا اللہ نمک حرامی کی تو معاف فرما ہمارے یا اللہ اولاد کی صحیح تربیت کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما غیروں کو سپر کرنے سے ہمارے اولاد کو اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما ان کی دینی تربیت یا اللہ تیرے ذات کے ساتھ منسلک کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ دین کی اہمیت یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پیرا فرما حق کی محبت دلوں کے اندر پیرا فرما غیروں کے طریقے پر چلنے سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ شیطانی طریقوں پر رسانی طریقوں پر چلنے سے حفاظت فرما اپنی اصلاح کی توفیق نصیب فرما اس کی فقہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما اس ماہ مبارک مبارک دین جو آنے والے ہیں ان کی قدردانی کی توفیق نصیب فرما اور اس کے لیے ہمارے سر رحم کرم فضل کا معاملہ فرما یا اللہ سچی پکی توبہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما پاک اور صاف فرما نبی علیہ السلام کے سامنے سچی محبت نصیب فرما یا اللہ قیامت دن آپ کے سامنے شرمندگی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما امت کا درد ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پیرا فرما دین کے اچھے کام دین کے کاموں کے لیے ہم سب کو یا اللہ قبول فرما اخلاص و استقامت کی توفیق سے مالا مال فرما ہمارے اکابرین یا اللہ ان کے سامنے شرمندگی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما غیروں کے طریق کو اختیار کرنے سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما حضرت مولانا نے جو یا اللہ نے وعدے کی اس کی قدردانی کی توفیق نصیب فرما اس کو اپنی زندگی کے اندر لانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما ہم سب کو اپنی اصلاح کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اس ملک کے اندر اور اس جگہ کے اندر جو بڑے جا چکے ہیں ان کی قبروں کو نور سے منور فرما یا اللہ جتنے لوگ ہیں تمام کے لیے جو جائز مقاصد ہیں جائز مقاصد کے اندر سب کو کامیابی نصیب فرما جن کی جو جس قسم کی پریشانی ان پریشانی کو دور فرما نمازوں کی حقیقت ہمیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ نمازوں کی اہمیت ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پیرا فرما خضوع خضوع علی نماز نصیب فرما یا اللہ صحیح طور پر مانگنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اپنی اصلاح کی صحیح توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اکابرین کے ساتھ جوڑنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما تمام مدارس مقالی کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہر وہ خیر اور رسول اللہ نصیب فرما ہر وہ شخص جسے نے پناہ میں پناہ نصیب فرما تیری رضا اور محبت والی زندگی نصیب فرما امت کے حال پر رحم فرما امت کے ساتھ رحم کرم فضل کا معاملہ فرما دین کے کسی بھی کام کے اندر رکھنا لانے سے ہمیں ہارے فرما ایمان اکمل میں جینا اور مرنا نصیب فرما محسن فضل و کرم سے اس بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما کر ہم سب کے لیے مغفرت کا فیصلہ فرما دے اور یہ تیرے قرب اور تیرے محبت کا ذریعہ بنا دے اور نبی علیہ السلام سچی غلامی ہم سب کو نصیب فرما دے اور اکابرین کے فیض سے ہم سب کو مالا مال فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ خیر خلقی سیدنا مولانا محمد و آلہ وصحابہ اجمعین.